this button. Okay, one false start, and we're back with another Radio Fishing. This is Fishing Frank, and we've got guest stars from New York. I mean, like TV people and real people and all these other people. We got all kinds of guests going out here today. So let me get rid of Frank and his stupid guitar. Okay, Frank, go away. Shut up. All right. Introduce yourselves.
Hey, Frank, I'm Gus Kinjemi of Live the Wildlife TV. We're on the Pursuit Channel. We start back up again in July 1st, and we're on Nationwide.
All right. That's cool. Yes, it's nice to have you. And, sir?
Howard Braunstein from the M&M Auto Group up in Liberty, New York.
All right. So, the crowd loves you guys. I got to tell you, isn't it a great studio audience we got here?
Take a bow?
Yeah, you got to take a bow. Stand close to the mic so they can see you well.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, Gus, stand up. Oh, you're standing up.
Oh, that's why they gave me the tall chair.
It's going to be brutal in here. I can tell. It's a bloodbath.
Could you guys still get audio when Howard and I are wrestling? Because I think I'm going off this chair.
It's definitely New York time. I love it. All right. So you guys, you're in New York, and
yes.
you fish for a living, right?
No, I hunt for a living.
I'm a bow hunter.
Bow hunter. And
have you done the bow hunting here for the stingrays and all that stuff?
Well, I've done it up in Maryland, and haven't done much bow fishing down here. But we just went down and did some gators. Rod and reel gators.
Oh, yeah. That's
No, it was off the charts. We're probably fighting this one gator. I think the one was up over 12 foot, and I don't know, I would say 25, 30 minutes of fighting that gator.
Oh, that'll work.
It was wild.
And you did that when?
Yesterday.
Yep. So this is all still, you're still got a little adrenaline rush going from this.
Well, we've been on a marathon. Howard's one of my sponsors up in New York, and we came down to this Rocky Ridge conversions kit. They do conversions for pickups and vans, and they just tricked out my truck, which Howard provided, and the truck is off the charts. But we felt that we needed to go down there and meet these people. If we were going to, you know, if I'm going to recommend using their conversion kit, I'd like to shake the hand of the man who actually put the conversion kit in.
Right.
Beautiful place. Nine buildings. Just
where is this?
They're in Athens, Georgia.
Wow. Yeah,
a little town called Franklin Springs outside of Athens.
But now, your company,
I'm up in Sullivan County, New York.
Yeah, you sell cars and do all that, and you contract people to get their vans all fixed up so they can contact you, right?
Absolutely.
So, well, tell them where to contact you.
Yeah, so, M&M...
You know, you got to lead them by the hand.
MMAutoGroup.com, you know, we are one of the providers for Rocky Ridge throughout the country. We have the exclusive in the New York market for the Dodge pickup truck, Ram pickup truck, the Jeep Wranglers, and also for Ford pickups, which we sell.
Cool. Yeah, that's what my wife wants. She's looking at a Jeep. I don't know. She's...
No, you got to see these Jeeps.
She wants the SUV Jeep thing. That's her thing. That's what she's looking at.
I mean, my truck's parked outside.
I got to go out and see it.
Frank, we can talk about that, because I think I've taken enough stuff off the shelf here. We might be able to barter that.
But anyway, so we left from there. We came down. Howard has a house down here in Punta Gorda. And
now,
we did some fishing.
You got to remember... Wait, it's Punta Gorda.
Punta.
No, wait.
Punta. Punta.
Because
Punta.
If you say Punta, all that is different.
We're
the
we might go into that money. Okay,
yeah, we're the fat hooker.
I got it.
South.
Punta. That's where I think I got it from, because I have a lot of guys. I own a drywall construction company also, so I have a lot of Hispanic people working for me. So maybe that's what I mean when they call me Punta.
Okay.
So Punta Gorda, like punting a football.
Punta Gorda means wide point.
Wide point.
If you miss the end, it's kind of like Fat Hooker.
Oh, got it.
So anyway, we're down here in
Punta.
The Fat Hooker of the South.
I got it now. No one's ever corrected me. Thanks for doing that, Frank.
Well, you know, it's funny, but actually, old white guy like I am, I'm still, you know, speak a few languages here and there, and most of them badly. But when you come down here, Punta Gorda is how we got our name. If you look at a chart of Charlotte Harbor, you got this big, wide point there. One of the places Ponce de Leon came to find the fountain of youth. And now it's God's waiting room. You know, it all works out perfectly.
So we came down and we planned on... I got that history lesson. Thank you. Thanks for that. So we got down, Frank, and we jumped on fishing boats. And we're out tarpon fishing the other day. And we tried to get the Goliath grouper. And man...
We were at the phosphate docks.
Okay, so did he get knocked to his knees and whine like a little one?
Well, absolutely. You know, it was actually great. We were out with Rhett Morris.
And, Rhett's really cool.
Yep, and we were out with Rhett, and he wasn't geared up for the fight, but one of the guys who was out there fishing next to us graciously took Gus on his boat and set him up with the four or five guys that were charting because he heard he was filming. We were out there filming a TV show, and so they jumped on, and you know, Gus got on with probably, I don't know, the thing must have been about a 9.5, 10 foot stiff, biggest rod I've seen, and they were pulling 500 pound cable. So dropping, you know, they were driving cow, dropping rays.
Right.
You know,
that putting cow nose rays on
cow
hole.
Cow nose rays on, right, on hole.
Now, for all of you listening, if you don't know what a cow nose ray is, it's about, oh, 1.5 to 2 feet across. I would say, what, about 5 pounds?
5 to 8 pounds, I'd say. A big one's 8 pounds, but a small, yep, absolutely.
5 to 8 pounds. And now you're putting this on a rod, you got a big hook, you drop it in, and you're going to, this fish is going to take it whole. Swallow it one bite, and that's the object of this.
Right.
So, how was it when you got that first little nibble?
It was like grabbing onto the back of a pickup truck.
It's amazing.
Well, there's no drag. No. I mean, we fished those gators yesterday with rod and reel, and you know, you got some monster gators, but there's good drag. So this run was like, yeah, you thought you were going over.
Yeah, it's amazing. You just go right to your knees. You're hanging on, and all the other guys say, "Don't let go of the rod! Don't let go of the rod!"
And I wish I remember the guy's name, but there was a guy in the front of the boat who was, his job was to hold the guy holding the rod, so that he doesn't go over. And this guy was probably about 6'6". And about 325, a big, well-built dude, and he was having a hard time holding these guys back when a 200-300 pound plus fish grabbed on.
And isn't it amazing, because you don't have much to fight them with, because if they go 10 yards or 10 feet to the right, 10 feet to the left, you've lost that fish.
Yes.
So he's backing down in reverse. You're pulling.
He said not to pull with the cable. We didn't pull. We tried it the next day, and then they were saying pull up, but with the cable, you just hold tight. They back the boat out.
Yeah, we used to do it that way. I like better when I get to fight with it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I like it a little bit more. We use a 15 to 130 class billfisher rod, usually a 50 or 80 international, because the internationals are so tough, heavy gears. I mean, you put it next to like a Shimano, and it feels like garbage. I mean, it's just rough and tough, but it stays together forever. Right. And you can put 200-300 pound test on it, pull that with that billfisher rod, and now the fish is trying to pull you. You pull, he pulls, whoever pulls the hardest wins.
Right, right.
And that's everything about it. It's just a big tug of war with the biggest. I mean, it's a brute fish.
Well, you know, we didn't land any. So guess what? I'm coming back. Because now it's like, let's go bowfish for the cow nose. Let's go bowfish for the stingray. So I get that out of the way and then take those and use them for bait,
right,
which would have been really
And now
cool.
This is the time of year when we have massive, massive influxes of the cow nose because
rays,
spawning
yeah.
season.
Yeah.
So if you're going to use the rays for bait, this is the time of year to come. Now, if you're going to come back in a different time of year, we just drop a whole mullet on. You put a big 3-pound mullet on there, put
Same
it on
thing.
The hook, drop it down. I usually chop it off about 2-3 inches in from the tail to get it nice and yucky.
Right.
You know, stick that big hook in and drop it down. Same basic thing.
Hey, let me ask you a question about the stingrays, because I've done bow fishing for stingrays up in Maryland.
Right.
And it's an invasive species there. They got all the shell fishermen there, and they want them they're gone, because they just come in by the thousands.
Right. They come in, they
Is it the same
scallops.
Situation here, or are they just...
We don't have a big scallop population here, so it's not as drastic, but if you get up to Steinahatchee, and they're trying to get scallops going here, but less sharks out there now because the sharks are becoming fewer and fewer, that means more and more stingrays.
Okay.
Number one predator of stingrays is sharks. With the fewer sharks, we get more stingrays. So, no, you can shoot all the stingrays you want. It's not a, there's no issue with a shortage or even a, that we're overpopulated with them.
Right, right. Cool.
So we were out. We had a good day, the first day off with Rhett. We did hook up into some fish. Then next day after that, we were out with Brian Ball in the morning.
Brian's a riot, isn't he?
Yeah, and I've been fishing with Rhett and Brian both for 6 or 7 years, and I've had dozens of my friends down here who have been in your shop and walked around and had them out on their boats and on my boat, and so... We were out, and we got into the Derby, you know, out in the pass, and we were pretty fortunate that out of the 4 or 5 boats we were around, we hooked up with a nice tarpon in the morning, and we had an opportunity to get it on film.
Yeah, Brian's great. You were with Brian and hooked up?
Yep.
Yeah, because Brian's really good at that tarpon thing. We were doing a show with Brian the other day, and he's just off the hook. And he's funny because he's so quiet and so laid back. And then he gets out in the water, jumps around the boat like he's a madman. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we enjoy him. And And so we had a great opportunity to pull up a beautiful, just about 100-pound tarpon. Wasn't the biggest one out there, but it was.
How long
was
before
a real nice
you're
fish.
Leaving?
Tomorrow.
Next time you come back, you got to get together with me and do all your stuff, and then I'll show you what we do for tarpon.
Okay, good deal. I'll get. I'm going to hold you to that because I'm coming back.
We'll take you out. We'll show you what we do for them because we're lazy. We ain't going all the way out there running all around all day.
Well, we did. You know, so then yesterday, I don't know if you ever heard of a place called the Razor Ranch, owned by a guy, Larry Collins.
Yeah, Razor Ranch, real nice people. Yep, they do a great trip. Nice. I mean, all the way around, the Razor Ranch is really a cool place.
Yeah, pretty amazing. So
the Gators were off the charts. Did you expect that?
No, not at all.
We're casting these big trouble hooks and then hooking these gators. And
using a 750 Spinfisher.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I sold it to him.
just killer stuff. And
the Razor Ranch was in here. We outfitted him for gator because he was in here. You know.
And I tell you what, the drag was amazing.
The pen came out, the Spinfisher.
Unbelievable.
They have the regular disc, just like a normal reel, like anybody else's brand. Underneath it is another full-size washer that's bigger than the standard disc all put together. You can double it up. You can get up to more than twice what a normal reel will do in drag, which is almost impossible to hold.
Right.
But it slips under pressure. You can actually have big, heavy pressure, 15, 18 pounds of drag, and it still works. With most reels, you're either bind up or slipping at that power. And that's why you can do those with those pens. It's just got so much extra.
Yeah, and I bought them for tarpon season, and they've been working great.
Yeah, I like it because I couldn't figure out why would you ever want 30 pounds of drag. It just sucks. You can't hold it. You can't physically, it's going to rip it out of your hand. But then I found out, instead of being locked down, it's right in the middle. It's perfect.
Wow.
You know, really does a great job. Now, how long were you down here?
About a week. Four or five days.
Yeah, just shy of a week. We got down. We started our trip up in Lake Placid, Florida.
Bass fishing.
This is sick.
Okay, wait.
Well, I have a couple clients from New York who are, let's just say, gun enthusiasts.
Yes.
And they belong to a private ranch up in Lake Placid where they hog hunt. And these guys specialize in night optics.
Night vision. Thermal
scanning.
Now, I'm a bow hunter, so I'm not really... You know, knowledgeable on most of this stuff. And we look like RoboCop. They had helmets on with monopods, and we had, you know, thermal scopes on these. I'm like, we're walking around these fields. I'm going, we should be in some futuristic movie. That's how bad it was.
You felt like you were working
with
the
Navy
SEALs.
Did you feel like the aliens are coming off the ships?
The aliens wouldn't have had a chance.
Listen,
we were geared for everything.
What we felt like with the guys from SEAL, you know, from SEAL Team 1 that went in and picked off Osama bin Laden, because I'll tell you what, it was pretty tricky.
Well, that's really cool. And so you guys got to do the hog hunting with the night scopes and the rifles.
Didn't see any hogs, but we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a tough night. But last night, you know, after a morning hunt, which we did some stalking at the Razor Ranch, Gus was in the area where those badass Russian boars are, and
they had some people attacked him. He goes, you know, you want to go in there? You sure you want to go in this section? And I'm going, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
it was cool. It was, yeah, it was fine.
We pulled a couple stalk hunts off in the morning, weren't successful. We did the alligator thing in the afternoon, and then we came back and both of us got set up on stands for the evening, and
got a couple of hogs.
Got a couple beautiful hogs last night.
Yeah, they're actually pretty good eating. if you've never had wild boar,
right.
Lots of marinade. Lots of marinade. And they're actually really good. But I'm going to strongly suggest a little bit of marinade.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little bit more than that. Right. And slow cook them. And they actually come out pretty darn nice. It's actually pretty good meat.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, definitely. But, this was a little new to me. There was a lot of new things. I'm kind of doing this one episode will be only on Florida. So I kind of covered from fishing to gator hunting to hog hunting and just a lot of things that you guys have to offer down here. But our show starts up again in July. We're on the Pursuit Channel. It's DirecTV and Dish, and it's on the web. But and we spent the first series, these first shows coming out, I was in Alaska for 42 days. Tents in Alaska for 42 days. I was on caribou, moose, mountain goat, black bear.
Okay,
fishing.
How'd you do?
Dude, we It was.
You gotta watch the show. You gotta watch the show.
I lost 30 pounds. No, we took four species of animals and in four different locations.
I don't want a spoiler alert, but you know.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's, you know what it is, man. Alaska to me. I've shot the SCI number one brown bear in the world with a bow. Brown bear is the largest grizzly. Shot him at 5 yards.
At five yards.
Just on video. You can Google it.
You're about my size.
Right.
You know, about middle-sized human.
I weigh a little more.
We're not like Baby Godzilla over here, but you know.
It's a smaller target. If you're bow fishing, is it easier to hit a big fish or a little fish?
5 yards?
Yeah, you could Google my name and the video will come
up.
But that's my second trip for brown bear up there, and I went up for moose in the Arctic in tents in November.
Oh,
and that was insane. So to me, I mean, Alaska always had this allure. And before I get too old, I want to catch them, you know, that last time where you're on your own, do it yourself.
Yeah.
And the only part you can't do, the mountain goat on Kodiak, you need a guide. But just climbing those mountains, and it was incredible. An incredible trip.
That sounds amazing. Now, what's the name of your show again?
Live the Wild Life.
Live the Wild Life. Okay, because believe it or not, this goofy little podcast is about 10,000 listeners.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. No, and when you look around at our studios and you're going, okay, there's...
You're making people believe that, right, Frank?
Well...
You're letting them believe that, because, I don't know, these girls serving cocktails here and these plush couches that we're sitting on, you know? I mean, you're really playing this off. The hardworking guy, the guy, just every man, he's one of the regular guys. He's got, like, this thing all set up here.
Yeah.
Oh, and... They don't really have to. Once they walk through this studio to the back studio, you keep this facade.
That's the private room back there. You have to be a member.
It's like one of the mob movies where you got the little storefront set up here in the back is the real studio.
It's like
going
from Barport to Cristal.
So anyway, but how did you like Florida?
I had a house in Port St. Lucie for 7 years. We just sold it last year, and I love Florida.
Yeah.
I love it down here, man. The Keys are, you know, you go to the Keys, it's just wild stuff. And
then you come over here, and this is a little more subdued over here. This is a quieter area. This is where you come to boat and fish.
Well, where I stayed in the Keys wasn't too bad. I wasn't talking about Key West. That was party time.
No, but, I know. You get up in Almirada and Largo and all that.
But I really enjoyed it. I mean, I like it here. Telling Howard, I think I'm getting almost to that point now where I'm looking at winter. Down south.
Well,
you know, man,
after last winter, I think most people are ready to go. You got to see what this winter does, though. You might not get any snow. It might be nice.
Just nice to get away.
Yeah.
Nice to get out of the, you know. Our area, I got to be honest with you, from the fall, the summer, the spring, it's just amazing. There's so much hunting and fishing going on. But it's really nice to get away for 3 months and come down here.
This is paradise. This is the tropical paradise. I tell people all the time, you know, they say, oh, I want to go. I said, you're already in the tropical paradise. Just look around. It is.
Yeah.
And this is, I love this area. But anyway, have you got a chance to do any snook, redfish, anything yet?
No, I haven't.
Well, next time you come down. I mean, if you get back out with Rhett, he's really good at that. And we've got a little thing that we got to do with tarp, and I'll show you what we do, you know. But
well, every night behind the house, Frank, I've had a snook light out. That was the first thing I installed when I moved into my house. And, we've got about a dozen snook on the light, and there's one of them out there that's topping about 20 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I keep telling Gus, you know, back in the day, you know.
Well, they're still fun to catch and release.
Absolutely.
They're still fun to catch and release. And, I mean, you hook up that 20-pound snook, you will remember why you picked up a rod and reel in the first place.
Because
it's heart-pounding.
So we've been running and gunning. I said tonight to Gus, I mean, most of the nights we've been getting home, we're hitting, you know, we're lucky if we're in by midnight and we're up at 4 o'clock the next morning getting ready for our next adventure.
Right. You got to spend some time in the light, but throw outside of the light. Don't throw in the light itself. Keep in the dark with your lures.
Right. We can see a dozen fish right on the light, but there's at least another dozen popping all night long.
But as soon as you throw in that light, what the underwater lights do is change the sunlight where it's come from ever from above to change it from coming from below. And it changes the shadow, changes the appearance of everything. If you get a little tiny, tiny lure and you kind of sketch it through the light, you got to keep your leader and your knot out of the water. And it's just that little lure going through there. But if you're going to throw a normal lure, normal bait, just throw a foot, 2 foot out in the dark, and you're going to blast these guys.
All right, Frank, what's the recommendation? What are we putting on?
Probably, if you're going to stay outside of light, the Storm Twitch bait. Any of those are going to work good. They get a lot of noise, a lot of vibration, either that or maybe, goodness gracious. Maverick Golden Eyes got a lot of noise when you're reeling them in. You want something that's got a really good wobble. Even a rattle trap is pretty good. But to throw right in the lights, you got to get the little tiny, tiny X-Rap Apollo. They used to do the Ozuri Pins Minnows, but then,
right,
now
the
they're like
minnows.
Little tiny, tiny Pins Minnows, but you know, now they're like a gazillion dollars. And so we've all switched over to the Rapala X-Rap because it's a great lure at a reasonable price. But
right,
the little itty-bitty ones, almost, if you're thinking crappie lures, now you're getting it.
They're like 11s?
Yeah, I think like 6s or 5s or something.
Oh,
like
the
that.
Little the ones. 11. The other side. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
the little,
the
tiny,
other way,
tiny,
yeah.
Tiny.
Yeah,
yeah,
we fish the 7, right, the big ones. We fish the size down. You know, listen, we fish them for bass at home.
Yeah, but the small bass size, between bass and crappie.
Even smaller.
Think crappie and you're kind of getting into the ballpark. That's really where you got to go.
And live bait? Shrimp?
Shrimp, anything. Just freeline the shrimp, though, and just toss it right next to the light edge. And he'll go down, he'll kick, kind of right in and out of light, and next thing you know, you're hooked up. But the kiss of death is to throw right in the middle of that light, and it's irresistible urge. It's like a heroin addict. You're a crack addict. You're sitting there, you gotta go, I gotta throw.
I can tell you, when we're going out at, you know, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, when we're coming home and we're seeing these things, having a cigar out on the dock to end the day, there's a pretty good school of minnows around, and I can tell you that at 4:30, when it's getting closer to sunlight, you know, those minnows are all but gone. You know, that bait school has been demolished by those.
Yeah, they all swirl up like they're in a tornado.
Absolutely.
It's really cool to watch.
You know, and normally we have at least a half a dozen to two dozen mullet, but I'll tell you what, even the mullet aren't coming around because those snook are so big.
Yeah, well, you gotta get yourself, get some plugs, or even just take a piece of cut bait and throw it down on the bottom right next to the light. You might go through a catfish or two, but even a dead bait. Snook love chunks of bait. The whole thing, when you're back on the flats, they'll chase down the bait fish and all that. But the big ones, it's like the difference between me and Carl. He'll go chase stuff around. I ain't doing it. I'm sitting my butt here in the chair, and I'll get food. You know, I ain't going to run around town looking for it. And, you know, the older ones, the bigger ones, they don't need all that jumping around chasing stuff. They'll take a nice big cut bait off the bottom.
Awesome. Very cool.
So
we're gonna try it tonight. We'll let you know.
Anyway, guys, I really appreciate you guys doing this little radio fishing segment. As always, just click on the pictures right here. It's going to take you right to their websites. We're going to have both guys up, both websites. You get to see the hunting shows and the car dealer, and maybe get your conversion van. I mean, I don't know what you do, but like I say, I got to talk to you about my wife. She's looking for a Jeep, so, you know, we got to talk. You know,
listen,
okay?
We'll ship it down.
Anyway, this is Fishing Frank, and this is Radio Fishing, and we will see you guys on the next one. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week.
Frank, that was cool, brother.